Blog Talk Radio.
And thank you, and we are today on target for a discussion. And David, would you like to start off?
Well, okay. You asked me to look up this case of two brothers accused of attacking their parents in Georgia. There are two sons, and this headline I'm looking at says that one of them at least may have been scheming for years. There isn't really that much information about this incident, although it happened on September 5th. So that's some time ago. Maybe there's an update. The two brothers are 17 and 22, and
wow.
It seems that apparently, on the night of September 4th, they tried to drug their parents, and they attacked the father in some way that I'm not sure of, except that they tried to strangle both parents with a pillow and or, it says, plastic bags, and stabbed the father. Both of these parents survived. And it says, in addition, one of the brothers stated that he wanted to cover up the evidence by setting the house on fire, which they did set the house on fire. They don't have any motive, which I'm very curious about. I'm looking at this house where this took place. This is quite a nice house, which looks to me like probably a four-bedroom, very nicely designed brick house with a sizable yard and a driveway, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all we know. Obviously, they admitted to doing this, and it says that the mother told police that during the attack, the sons poured an unknown substance on her, and she felt heat in the back of her leg. There's some awfully bad feelings at play here. And I don't know. I'm going to see if I can find out some more information. They're both going to be tried as adults, of course. And this 22-year-old who's involved in this, it sounds like he was living in the house also. And, you know, my immediate thought is if he disliked it there so much that he would have to kill his parents and so forth, why didn't he just, you know, pack his bags and get the hell out of there and act like a man? I could go into that to some great extent, but I think most of us are aware of the fact that there's a whole generation, if not two generations, I call them the basement boys, of mostly males, who male children who graduate from high school, and instead of going out and making their way in the world, they move into the basement of their parents' house or some other relative's house who has a free basement. And you know, the great thing about basements is that they tend to have their own entrances so that they can bring young women in and out of the place, smoke and deal drugs and so forth. And there's a whole heck of a lot of that in Kansas City and in a lot of other places also in this country. It's common as dirt, unfortunately. And, well, there it is. I don't know what grievance a 17-year-old would have had that he would have been plotting since he was 11. And like I said, as far as I'm concerned, you're 22 years old living at home and you feel like you want to kill your parents, you'll find that you're, you know, before you end up doing something like that, you need to get the hell out of there and act like a man. So that's it for me for now.
Oh. Well, what do you think about that? We got some more callers here. Had you heard about it?
Wait a minute. I got another article, and it sounds like this is for insurance money. Or that's what the order. One or two brothers accused of trying to kill their parents for insurance money have been planning the attack since he was 11 years old.
Well, that's
what it says.
It's usually about money.
Well, you would think there would be some kind of pretty, you know, horrific abuse going on for an 11-year-old to decide that he wanted to kill his parents. You wouldn't expect someone that young to be thinking about getting revenge for some kind of child abuse. But I'm not sure that they really have a clear idea. I think this business about the insurance money is speculative. But there it is. I don't know what their parents look like, but these brothers sure look like brothers. They look very similar.
Wow. Okay, any other caller want to chime in on that one? Not at this time, okay. Moving right along, Hillary Clinton. What do you think? Is she being picked on?
I saw this interview where she supposedly apologized to the American people for generating this email scandal. And that, unfortunately, was a very cleverly devised journalism scam. That woman did not apologize. I don't remember the name of the female reporter who was interviewing her about this subject and maybe other subjects also. A very renowned female journalist, and you know, so she says to Hillary Clinton, "Do you want to apologize to the American people And Hillary Clinton says, well, I'm just sorry that it just generated a misunderstanding, but I didn't do anything wrong. And the woman says, well, do you want to apologize to the American people? And she asked Hillary Clinton this three times. Hillary Clinton basically just rephrased what she said, had said in her previous responses to this woman, but she never apologized. She never said, I apologize to the American people. That is absolute BS. And that woman was obviously intending to set her up. And it was not a literal apology. It's something that could be construed as an apology, but that's a stretch. She mainly said that she, you know, regretted that it generated this much attention, and that, you know, from that standpoint, it would have been better if she had used a separate email account for her, for, you know, strictly for government business. But that's all she said. And then the press started running with this apology stuff. And because, you know, this is like a mea culpa. You know, this is like her confession that she did wrong. She never confessed to doing wrong. As a matter of fact, she didn't do wrong. And they were trying to make out that she had tampered with her hard drive. And, you know, when I heard this reporter ask her, well, did you wipe the hard drive? And she said, do you mean like with a cloth like this? And she made this wiping movement with her hand. And then, you know, there's a headline, Hillary Clinton jokes about email scandal. All of this is completely meaningless. Even if she did what they said she did, there's no consequence to it. Donald Trump, who is talking like he expects her to end up in jail, he said that this is, her behavior was very criminal, not just criminal, but very criminal. And he just didn't think she was going to make it. You know, he acted like he expected her to be behind bars or fighting for her life in court by the time the election comes around. Now, why are they doing this? The media is doing it to sell media, obviously. This is like something that's so minor. And what's, as I said, of no consequence. It's not like she's stealing anything. It's not like she's giving away government secrets. It's not like she's betraying her trust or anything. She just was using one singular email account, which she was allowed to do. She didn't just come up with this idea. This was something that she was allowed to do, and she isn't the first high-level cabinet member to do that. So it's basically, as far as I can see, the reason why we hear so much about it is because the media is making an issue out of it so that they can sell more media. That's what they're in business to do. But I'm also aware of the fact that conservatives in this country are always complaining about how the media is picking on them. The fact is, I heard Cuomo, the newscaster on early morning news or whatever it is, Chris Cuomo, I think. Both father and brother having been governors of New York, they showed on this show in a news clip of Hillary Clinton challenging this reporter who was asking her questions about this the email thing, and she was, the reporter said, well, I just was asking for general information, blah, blah, blah. And Hillary Clinton was accusing her of, playing dirty in this interview under circumstances where it was questionable. But in any case, Cuomo made this very interesting statement. He said, don't blame the flies. And he said, you know what flies are attracted to. So don't blame us, you know. And it was just amazing to hear that this reporter on this big television news show, I think it comes on at 4 in the morning and runs from 4 to 7 or something like that. I don't know. But in any case, comparing journalists and reporters to vermin, which is what he was doing, there's a big difference between a news reporter and a fly or a cockroach or a rat. For one thing, they get paid, and they're human beings. They're supposed to have, common decency, morals, and a lot of times the press they're interested in stories, okay, not people. And the ideal situation for them, this would be, from a reporter's standpoint, is let's say somebody's interviewing Tiger Woods about, the sex scandal, concerning his wife. And Tiger Woods gets completely upset, cusses out the reporter, which is news, goes home, kills his whole family, which is news, then goes on the run like O.J., which is news, goes to jail, has a big trial, goes to jail, has appeals, all of which is news. They would regard that as heaven. Something like that happened. That's what they want. They want people to embarrass or disgrace themselves. That's their goal in these interviews. You notice that they're always trying to push a little bit further. Their goal is to get people to say something that they shouldn't say. That is news, to them. That's like brilliant reporting. And they're always just taking, whatever the conversation is, just taking a little bit further, asking the person something that's just a little bit beyond or wholly beyond, to a position that they should really be taking or that they're saying they're taking, trying to get them to betray themselves, and that's what they do. And it's plainly obvious. News reporters are considered to be in a list of the most respected to the least respected professions. They're way down at the bottom.
Being how that is, can we come to the conclusion that this is just more manufactured crap, for controversial crap for them to say? It really has no bearing on us as a people. One thing that I read on the internet today that I think is profoundly more important is that the White House press secretary has made a declaration that the Republican Party is a racist party. That has more is of more interest to me than some bullcrap story about what Hillary Clinton has said, because the President of the United States is not going to let his press secretary release something unless he endorses it. So in other words, Obama Obama is in the middle of playing hardball now, and he's come out and let his press secretary say the Republican Party are nothing but a bunch of racists, which no other Democratic Party leader would say. That is important. But all this Hillary Clinton stuff, man, it's obvious it's just a bunch of manufactured controversy. Who cares? It really has no bearing on us as a people. And that's what really blows my mind. But
it doesn't
has anybody
have any
else
bearing
seen
on
the story?
Anybody. It doesn't have any bearing on anybody as far as I'm concerned. It's just a journalistic manufactured issue to sell media.
Which is what they do. That's why I don't follow the news. That's why I don't read it, because I know it's such a bunch of malarkey. But what I want to know is, what does anybody think about the press secretary of the president coming out and declaring the Republican Party as being nothing more than a racist party? I think that's relatively profound, and I'm really interested in that. But I have not really followed the Hillary Clinton thing because, from the very beginning, I could see it was just a bunch of manufactured malarkey. Because that's what they do.
If you watch mainstream news, it follows you. I can think of maybe 2 days when there hasn't been anything on the news about Hillary Clinton and this email business. As far as the Republican Party, and I think that's very cool that he would say that, especially in view of the fact that it is nakedly obvious to any objective observer that these Republican politicians were trying very hard to get him assassinated. I think that the biggest scandal with the Secret Service is that they weren't more aggressive or aggressive at all in questioning these Republican politicians like Sarah Palin and whoever the Republican opponent was from Gabrielle Giffords in Arizona, because at some convention, Republican convention, Sarah Palin had all these Democratic politicians in crosshairs. Pictures of them were handed out in crosshairs like rifle sights, okay? And she was questioned about this, presumably by the Secret Service or somebody. Maybe it was just news. And she said, oh, no, those weren't rifle sights. Those were surveyor's marks, from surveying whatever those sighting devices that they use. Well, that's just absolutely absurd. And the guy who was opposed to Gabby Gifford, he had some, not too long before she was shot, he had some Stop Gabby Gifford rally where he had an M16 and was letting the attendees shoot this M16. Now, you can imagine him up there ranting and raving about how we have to stop Gabby Gifford with this M16 firing in the background. But anybody can tell. These are just a couple of incidents, but the way a lot of these Tea Party people were talking, they were obviously advocating, and politicians, Republican politicians were obviously advocating his assassination. And it was only the Gabby Gifford thing that made these people back off because of all the attention that got. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were told that they needed to cool it at that point. But if it had been Barack Obama getting his brains blowed out instead of Gabby Gifford, they would have been dancing in the street because that's what they wanted. And what would be a better opportunity? We haven't had an attempted assassination since Ronald Reagan, which is over 20 years ago. And these things happen, I think, in the area of about every 20 years. an attempted assassination or an assassination of a president. So they probably figured the time was right, and they, you know, they were going for it, you know, period. That's how racist they are. To say nothing of the fact that American politics is based on racism. The only reason why you have these people, especially in the South, these poor white people voting for these Republican politicians who tell them that they're going to screw them, they vote for them, they do screw them, and then they vote for them again because they think that the Republican Party is the white man's party. And they're prepared to die for the white man's party. You know, why would somebody who cannot get health care because of a health insurance because of a pre-existing condition, or who has relatives with pre-existing conditions who were uninsurable under the traditional system, why would they be opposed to Obamacare? But, you know, a lot of them are, because they'd rather die than, you know, subscribe to that nigger's health care plan. Of course they're racist. And you know, I think a lot about Obama just coming out and saying, you know, at least at the end, you know, at the end of his administration, acknowledging that he was lucky not to have been assassinated by the right-wing elements in this country, assuming that he lives to the end of his administration. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, I would not be surprised to, you know, I had this football game on, I haven't been watching it, if there was a news flash right now saying that the president had been subjected to an assassination attempt or had been assassinated. Because these people are serious about this stuff. And you know, it's amazing how things happen in this country. You have black people in different contexts and acting like, you know, they're the darlings of society or that they're respected the same as their white counterparts would be. When these people, you know, I take the Williams sisters, they get death threats every goddamn day, as does Tiger Woods. They just don't talk about it, you know. And these people are such hypocrites and liars, they need to be told about themselves. So that's what I think. I think he's lucky to be alive, and we'll have to see if he lives through his second term.
I agree, but the point I'm trying to make is the media has not played that up. That's a very, like I said, it's a very profound thing for the second most, or one of the two popular parties in the country to come out with a statement. Instead, they're filling people's heads with this Hillary Clinton balderdash, which who cares? I don't care about that. That isn't going to do anything for what's happening within our community, their community, let alone our community. It's just something to keep people sidetracked. It's, like I said, I haven't followed the nightly news in the mainstream media for 40, 45 years or so. I never watched that because most of it is just disinformation and baloney. So it's not important to me. The things that they deem important, I know is not important. I've pretty much set my life up to where, you know, if the movie says the Indians are villains, I know damn well the Cowboys are villains. You know, simple as that. That's kind of how I do things. Not straight down the line, but that's pretty much the way you got to look at life in this country as far as the propaganda that is thrown at people. Because most people, man, let's face it, they're not sharp enough. Well, I shouldn't say that. They don't want to spend the time to investigate things to really find out what's really going down. So they just accept all of this tons of garbage and shit that's stuff that's thrown at them. and they accept it. It's like people complaining about how come so-and-so didn't get an Academy Award. Who cares whether they got an Academy Award or whether they got an Academy Award? That's their institution. They set it up, so I don't expect anything from it. So I don't watch awards programs and whatnot because I don't really care. Oh, the first black woman to win such and such. I don't care. It's really not that important. That's not going to have too much of an effect on us as a people as far as what where we're trying to go. It's those are their institutions, and they set them up. If you want to worry about getting awards, set up your own institutions, man, or go somewhere else. Nigeria has a tremendous film industry and whatnot, man, tremendous one and whatnot. There are all sorts of artistic awards. I was just reading about this African Writers Award that this brother got, man, in Africa. They don't even cover that in this country, but it doesn't. That doesn't give it any less legitimacy and whatnot. No, we're too busy trying to, you know, I don't care about
it. Emily, yeah. Look, before we leave, I wanted to put one thing out. Zimbabwe, Mugabe, says that he'll fight the sale of his property in Cape Town after it was auctioned on Monday to compensate white farmers evicted from the land. And the auction followed a five-year battle to force the government to pay legal costs after it lost a court challenge against the controversial land reform. And the property, based upon what these reports are saying, the 22nd, is that it's been confiscated and given over. Mugabe had a reform where he was giving the black Africans their land back. And these are people that didn't have land. And does anybody have any comments? And then we'll wrap up today.
Yes, I wish all of the rest of the African republics were like that. He's 100% right on. They need to kick the De Beers people out and take over the diamond mines. They need to kick everybody else out and take over the gold mines in South Africa. So, as far as I'm concerned, South African government is a sellout. They've determined that the Chinese are black, honorary blacks and whatnot, and entitled to the same benefits and whatnot. It's ridiculous. Mugabe is the type of leader that they need. They don't. Europeans, former colonial inhabitants in Africa, don't deserve to have everything. They've gained enough over the hundreds of years of stealing stuff and taking stuff and enslaving people. They need to kick all of them people out and take over all land. They should not be able to own land. Absolutely right. I applaud the brother. He's doing exactly
what
he's
doing. Saying? Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that the court decided with the white former landowners?
No. Well,
is that
no.
what you're saying?
Mugabe started in 2000 a land reform where he gave it back to the people.
Yeah, well, what
there.
About the court action you're talking about?
And basically they took him to court and they said, well, no, you can't give this land back. We own this land. And the court said, well, it's going
to
just...
Well, who took who to court?
The white landowners.
White farmers. Yeah, sorry, white landowners.
And what did the court say?
The court ruled in favor of the law.
You can have your land back.
Ruled in favor of the blacks who had taken the land from the white settlers. Is that what you're saying?
The government ruled against the government. So I think we
ruled against the government. I don't understand what that means.
Mugabe paid the land reform.
Wait a minute, Marvin. Let her. I want to hear from her because I really don't understand. You're being a little too vague for my literal lawyer's mind. What did the court say to who?
Hello?
The court said, you know, you hear me?
Just barely.
So sad.
Yes. I can't talk too much louder than this.
Can you hear me?
Well, the court said that the land was lawfully confiscated. Is that what you're saying?
and basically said the land was illegally confiscated.
Oh, okay.
So that they have to give the land back to the whites who they took it from.
Yes.
Okay, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I'm not surprised.
We have another caller. Brown, you wanted to comment on that, and then we're going to take a wrap-up on this. No, did we lose you?
I misunderstood. I thought you said I thought you meant that the court ruled in favor of the Land Reform Act. If they ruled against it, the legal and jurisprudent systems of most of those countries, according to the late Dr. Henry Clark, opinion I value, is nothing more than a carbon copy of their former colonizers' political systems, and that's what the problem is and whatnot. They're not doing things according to African law and legal procedures and whatnot, and so it doesn't surprise me that they would do something like that. But I think it's wrong. I think that the law was right on, spot on.
I look at it very simply. Nobody invited those people to come to Africa and take over their land. So, they did that by force. So why shouldn't they be thrown out by force?
Exactly. Exactly. That's how I feel about it. But it seems to me you have white towns in South Africa that refuse to let black people. They have outposts in South Africa where they refuse to let black people live there. They got laws and they got pictures of them with guns and everything preventing them. The government should step in and tell those people, if you don't want to live among us, get the hell out of our country. Get the hell out. That's what. But they're not doing that. And that's what really pisses me off, man. The governments of these countries should let these people know, hey, the party's over. If you don't want to be part of if you don't want to live among us, get out. This is ours. Because that's what they say in Europe.
It wouldn't bother me if they just kicked them all out,
kicked them
period.
Out, yeah. Simple as that. You had your run. It's over with. You got all what you're going to get. Get out. And that's what they need to do. But they don't seem to want to do that. And Mugabe has said, the president of Nigeria has said, if you don't want to give us aid, which is military aid most of the time, we'll build our own weapons. And that's what they're doing now. But we're not going to let you change our laws in respect to homosexuality. This is an African problem, and we ain't going to let you force homosexuality on us. So if you don't want to give us aid, if you're tying it to that, so be it. Keep your aid. We'll build our own weapons. We'll make our own guns or whatever. And that's what the president of Nigeria said, and I agree with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe we should start with that one next week, Africa and its relationships. And so it's a wrap for today. Thank you all for calling in. We'll see you back next week. We'll start off with Africa and its relationships. Have a good one. Thank you.